occurs, which it does often, every few seconds in fact. TweetDeck looks like a stock trader's computer screen where the markets are on fire. Buy whimsy, sell rage. No matter how urgent the demands of my Word document, I know that behind it there is always something new I can look at, something stimulating, new news, new newness. Let me suckle at that teat. I mean, I could leave it until later, but then I'll miss something and I can't risk missing something. I must see everything. 10-minute-old news? Not for me. I don't want stale news. I want fresh news. And fresh cat videos too, for that matter. Here's a bit of 1990s trivia for you. Some of the people born in the 1990s are now adults. I find it hard to believe myself, but I've checked it with a calculator and there is no getting away from it. It's a fact. And it'll be even factier tomorrow. If you're one of them, then this world is pretty much all you've known. This world of constant connection, this incessant swarm of data, is the world you were born into. I am not one of them. I am an old man. I am a dinosaur. I grew up in a simpler age. I was explaining to one of my nieces recently that for the first 6 years of my life, the only television I saw was black and white. She chewed her lip and stared me down, clearly suspicious that I was making things up. But I wasn't. It was 1977 when my parents finally took the plunge and rented a colour TV. I may have been only six, but the arrival of a colour set was so exciting, the occasion is burned into my memory as if it were yesterday. Seeing cartoons in colour for the first time blew my tiny mind. I couldn't understand why my parents weren't as excited by the cartoons as I was. Tennis is what excited them. It was their desire to watch Wimbledon in colour that finally persuaded them to go all high-tech. They were very glad they did too, as that year saw a rare British Wimbledon win. When Virginia Wade held the rosewater dish aloft, the Gorman household didn't need a commentator to tell us her cardigan was pink. We were living the dream. Incidentally, my mum bought her first HD TV just a few short weeks before Britain's next Wimbledon triumph arrived, courtesy of Andy Murray in 2013. I'm no expert, but if the people behind British tennis want to see another player thrive on those hallowed courts, I think they should seriously consider buying my mum a 3D TV next. "Was your television really in black and white?" asked my niece sceptically. "Yes." "Hmm." She narrowed her eyes. "And what about your internet? Was that in black and white too?" "Ha," I snorted. "We didn't have the internet back then. Nobody did. Not really." She gasped. "I was a grown-up when I first used the internet," I continued. "I can remember sending my first email." "I can too. I was in my early 20s and I'd just gone online for the first time. Eager to know what this email malarkey was all about, I called my friend Chris, the one person I knew who was already online, after I'd disconnected the computer in order to free up the phone line, obviously. I asked Chris to send me an email. He did, after we'd both put our phones down and reconnected our computers, obviously. The first email I ever read went as follows. "Hi Dave, is your email working? Chris." I replied, "Yes." He replied, "It's good, isn't it?" I replied, "Yes, it's amazing. I'll call you back." And then I called him again so that we could discuss how amazing it was that we could communicate with one another that easily. After we'd... oh, well, you get the idea. As it happens, Chris is still a dear and close friend to me, but I doubt we've spoken on the phone in over 10 years. Other new media landmarks are just as clearly fixed in my memory. In 1982, I was glued to the box for the start of Britain's fourth TV channel. At 11 years of age, I probably wasn't the target audience for Channel 4's first programme, the Words and Numbers game show Countdown, but it was new and that made it exciting anyway. Would we ever have five channels? It seemed impossible to imagine such a thing. Getting my first mobile phone is another clearly defined landmark. I'd resisted getting one at first. It was partly because they were seen as being a bit naff. They were considered the preserve of arrogant estate agent and yuppie twonks at the time. But mainly it was because I was scared of the financial commitment. But then, for the first time in my life, I landed a job that gave me something approaching a regular income. I was part of a small team of writers working on a TV show, and I figured that meant I could handle the year-long contract and the accompanying monthly bills, just so long as I was careful and tried not to make many calls. I was the first of the writing team to get a mobile, and my colleagues roundly mocked me for it. Within an hour of owning it, they had arranged for someone to send me my first ever text message. "Mr. Gorman, we have completed your sperm count. Result, zero." How we laughed. They wouldn't have been there to witness the arrival of said text if it hadn't been the first day of my mobile phone-owning life. That day it was on because it was a novelty, but it soon became my habit to turn the thing off when I got to the office.